Welcome to The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis. I am your host, Cicely Davis.
Woohoo! It's time for celebration. Welcome back, American Savages, to The Savage Truth. I am your hostess with the mostest and so very excited and happy. The joy is on our side.
Joy.
If you're new to the channel, welcome. You couldn't have chosen a better episode to join me here on The Savage Truth. I am your host, Cicely Davis, and I brought someone along with me because we promised that we would come back post-election results. This is my husband, Brad. Brad, say hello to the Savage Truthers.
Hello, everyone, and we couldn't be happier.
Happier.
Tonight.
Happy, happy.
What a result.
What a great night we had. We have a great show for you tonight. If you're new to the channel, like I said, welcome. You chose an awesome, amazing episode to join me. For those of you who are returning, I have a great show for you today. Whether you're new or returning, I have an ask, and it's always the same. And you know what it is. If you're returning, to please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review, a joyful review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And let's get into it, because I know the people recognize and they know that we now have a 47th president-elect. Donald J. Trump is the president-elect as the 45th and now 47th president of the United States. Now, I know in the last couple of days, you've heard a lot of talks about, you know, the elections and how it went and why Trump won and why Kamala didn't, but you haven't heard my version. So you have to join me and talk with me about it. And I brought Brad along too. So let's just talk a little bit. It might be a little bit of a longer show, but we just got to get the points in. So thanks for joining us. Brad, do you feel the joy?
I feel extreme joy. I woke up this morning. I opened the window. Birds were singing. I walked out. It was brighter. The sun was shiny. The sky was bluer. A bird landed on my shoulder. He sang me a little song. I felt like I was in a Disney movie. When Walt Disney was running it, not currently. And you know what I felt? I felt for the first time in what, 3.5 years, more than that, I felt
eight.
Well, no, but I'm saying with this administration currently, I felt for the first time unburdened by what has been.
Good for you. I'm super excited about that. I'm so excited. This is a savage president, Donald Trump, right? A savage president. We have a savage VP,
savage,
of course.
Fearless.
A savage VP and J.D. Vance, of course. They ran a absolutely savage campaign for the win. In one night, mind you, this all got done in one night. I'm just so proud to be an American right now. Another stay for Donald Trump at the White House for another 4 years.
It was really good. I mean, they were talking about before the election, is okay, 2 weeks before we know who's won, and it'll be dragged out. There'll be court battles.
Right.
We found out last night.
Right.
You stayed up till 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning. You found out Donald J. Trump was our president. And I think that the media knew that they had to give us something. I really think that they felt like, you know what? That it was necessary to, and I think that there was pressure on the states to really to do this, and maybe there was, maybe there wasn't, but it felt like, I think that there was this anxiety in the air, and people talk about civil war and all these things that, you know, in relationship to the idea of the civil war, we really, you know, we had our civil war last night. The only shot that was fired was the one in Butler, Pennsylvania. And the rest of it was just by votes. He won with a popular vote.
Yeah.
So our civil war was last night. That's it. Donald Trump is our president. And you know what? All we do is move forward from here.
Yeah. And let me just say, because you said something that they had to give us something, meaning the media. I just want to say that Americans absolutely earned, Donald Trump earned those votes. J.D. Vance earned those votes. Americans got out and did what they were supposed to do. They showed up. They made their voices heard at the ballot box. And as a result, we came together as Americans. And this is what it's like. This is true America. This is real democracy. This is a real republic in action. This is the true sentiment and movement and result of the American people truly coming together and acting as Americans. We truly last night looked like the greatest country in the world.
Well, it was democracy at its best.
Yeah.
We saw we really saw that. And the people, the turnouts for the election, the way he did won the popular vote. I didn't know. I wanted Trump to win. I was confident in it. But you don't know. And you right. don't know how the American people are going to vote. But we found out. And all the polls, once again, were wrong. They were wrong. And, you know, it's because they don't talk. I think the people who were voting for Trump were just going to vote for Trump. They weren't trying to answer the polls. They weren't interested in that. And I think they were just interested in action. We saw that. We saw a great Latino Hispanic turnout. So I think that they just, the Democrats literally, why did they lose? They are out of touch with the American people.
We're going to talk about that. You know, this wasn't about race. It wasn't about abortion. It was about affordability and it was about safety, right? So now we're going to make America great again. We're going to make Kamala Harris Indian again, because now that she's lost, Black people are no longer claiming her anymore. She's no longer going to claim to be Black. So we get to help Kamala become Indian again. Okay. But the American people said no. They said no to dismal despair. And they said yes to peace and prosperity. You know, Trump has always been the joyous candidate. He loves and fights for America. He loves and fights for the American people. In fact, they were the negative, that was the negative campaign. They were the ones accusing Donald Trump of being a Nazi, Hitler, fascist, sexist, misogynist, racist, chauvinist. It didn't resonate with the American people, like you were saying. And in spite of those attacks by Democrats and the media, the American people saw through it and voted for their futures, for America's future.
Really, what they did, again, they spent all their time in attack. So there really wasn't a policy that said, oh, well, this is what we're going to do. This is what. Yeah, I realize that for 4 years, we've really ruined the U.S. economy and we've destroyed, you know, American lives. But, you know, give me 4 years more and then I'll fix it. But there, I don't really have a plan. We just want you to hate Donald Trump enough to give me that opportunity. And that was the strategy. The strategy was to call him enough names so that you hated him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the weight of saying that someone is Hitler, I think this is a frustration I have with the Democrats. The weight of calling someone a Hitler and saying, well, he's just like Hitler, it's Hitler's fault. It's so frustrating to hear that, because it's like these people, I think they don't understand history and they don't even know what Hitler and how evil that man was. And so when you sit there and compare that to your candidate, I think that the people were tired of it. They were just tired of it.
Yeah. I think that you said something that's really important. I think after the past 3¾ years, you know, getting by with just calling Trump names wasn't going to work any longer. Right. I mean, people can't afford gas. They can't afford groceries. They have higher electric bills. Right. They're trying to figure out ways to pay mortgage, pay rent, figuring out how they can still put a little something on the side, get the kids through college or just pay tuition or get school clothes and school supplies. So, you know what? We're kind of down on the whole hate Trump, vote for me, hate Trump. And that's it. We need to understand how you're going to fix this mess that we're in. I can't afford to feed my kids.
Yeah, I think if the Democrats now are scrambling, trying to figure out, well, who do we blame for this?
Right.
And, you know, what went wrong? And it's not complicated. It is exactly what Cicely just said. It's simply the fact that you ignored the voice of the American people. The Democrats ignored the voice of the American people. You didn't actually even want to hear it. That's the part that's actually astounding to me.
Yeah.
That, you know, Donald Trump, J.D. Vance got out there. They talked to real people. They were on the podcast from Joe Rogan to Theo Von to all these different podcasts. They reached people, but they didn't just talk points. They actually talk like real people to people.
And they sound like real people because they are real people.
It resonated with people. And that's what that's really what changed this election. It was the fact that they actually didn't come across as lying politicians. Speaking of lying politicians, let me just bring up Walz. The only thing that's really sad is that we have to take him back into Minnesota now. But, you know, the only thing that actually is good is that he's been exposed as the lying fraud that he actually is.
Yeah.
And so if he would have won the vice presidency, you kind of would have forgotten that.
Yeah.
But now he's got to come back here with all the lying fraud that he has to own. And it's like he is a dismal governor. I hope he disappears in the election for governor next. And I hope he disappears from politics. I'm ashamed to think that he is our governor.
I hope that Kamala disappears as well. She's had her run. You know, walls should run. You know what? But right now, it's just good to be American. Doesn't it feel good?
I feel like we're not being, you know, I feel like we're not going to be lied to for the first time in 3.5 years.
Doesn't that feel good?
You know, you imagine the fact that you've tried to, you know, pull a magic trick and pretend like Biden didn't have any cognitive decline over the last 3.5 years. You're playing this magic trick. You're ignoring the fact that, you know, all the consumer goods are escalating and inflation is at a 40-year high.
That there
you're
aren't millions of
game.
People
yeah.
coming across the border.
Well, just ignore all that. Don't see that. Don't look at it. Let's not talk about it. Let's talk about what we're going to do. We're going to make things great. We're going to make things
How?
Good. What?
How?
Cut her. Can you cut her off? We don't need to discuss.
Yeah.
Just believe me when I say, I really have this idea of what I can do, and I really want to do it. If you give me the opportunity to do it, I'll do it. I will do something. I don't know what, and you don't know what.
But just vote for me.
I'll do something. Vote for me.
Yeah.
That's the Democratic plan. I wonder why it didn't work.
You know, well, so while we're sitting here, and depending on when this gets out, Trump is still in the lead, and he's waiting for other key swing states to come through. It's because they haven't figured out somehow some kind of way to get their votes in. Yeah. But we can, however, confirm a majority in the Senate. We should talk about that really quick. It's 45-52 so far and trending to have control in the House to 201 to 186 in the Republican favor. Now, Kamala Harris underperformed Joe Biden with Black women, Hispanic women, and with men. So that completely crashes the whole racist, misogynist argument altogether. So let me give the people some savage stat statistics, because after all, you know, they're really smart people that watch this, and they want to make sure that it's more than just opinion, that I'm speaking
smart
from truth.
Republicans.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Haven't
you
heard?
I thought we were all trash.
Oh, didn't you know? As of last night, that's all going, you know,
trash.
No, Savage Truth is going to reign again.
Well.
Now, this is according to Fox News analysis. Trump gains across nearly all demographics was the sub story of the campaign. Okay, this was the other story. Hey, listen to this now. Women he gained with two points. With men he went up 3. And that's when I say men, young men, 18 to 24 year olds, right? Non-college educated, he was +6. With Hispanics, he was +6. With Black voters, he was +7, Brad. And with young voters, he was +10. Donald Trump won Miami-Dade, Brad. This is a very large Hispanic population. He also won in Dearborn, Michigan. Oh, God, I love sticking it to Tlaib. This is a large, maybe the largest in the United States. The Arab community. Donald Trump won in Dearborn, Michigan. Okay, so this race complacency of the Democratic Party, I mean, he blew it to smithereens. The assumption that because you are a person of color, you automatically have to vote for the Democratic Party, that monolith is breaking, and it shattered loudly last night. It was so great to see.
You know, you said, like, you know, like when in the voting, like you have to vote for me. I'm Black, so you have to vote for me.
Right.
But yet white men are disparaged for voting for Donald Trump. You know, I'm confused. Like, oh, I'm Black, so vote for me. I don't have any policies. I don't have any, but I'm Black, so hey,
right.
we're kin, so let vote for me. But now if I'm white and I vote for somebody white, now I'm racist. That's the message again from the Democratic Party. They may have to, I'm gonna wag my finger like Obama.
Obama.
You know, they may want to take a look at that strategy and revise that just a little bit.
Well, what Trump did was, because he's such a wrecking ball, a political wrecking ball, and what we actually needed was Trump finally got the American people to realize that the Democratic Party is a party of elite, wealthy, coastal, advanced degree atheists, right? That's a small group of people, right? A very small group of people in the United States. Donald Trump, with all he has to do in the next 4 years, needs to also continue to expand the Republican Party. Keep expanding. When I said plus four, plus six, plus seven, plus 10, I want to see plus 11, plus 15, plus 20, plus 35, right? And if we do that, we can make this a solid run for the next 8 years, the next 12 years, and make sure that the American people show up and keep America as the most exceptional country in the world.
Donald Trump single-handedly has literally reinvented the Democrat or the Republican Party.
Absolutely.
He is absolutely.
You know, and the political scene.
When he lost, it was like, you know, in 2020, it was like, okay, that was like a kind of a hit.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden the Republicans are scrambling because we really don't have anything beyond Trump. But he never left us.
Right.
But what he did in that transformation has really transformed that Republican Party into something that, you know, spoke loudly yesterday evening.
And I think from 2020 to and 2020 and 2022 for midterms, I think we got this divide and we got to really figure out, Brad, who were the true Republicans who are really going to be the future of the Republican Party, and those who are part of the deep state, who've been the negative, right? Who running things on an kind of an old way of doing things that's really not progressing the party and moving us forward. And again, Trump was that necessary wrecking ball. And then you got that J.D. Vance, this man with his ability, he's so intelligent. And yet when he speaks to people, he's just so very like the he's just the people,
he
right?
Is,
he is, puts on no airs.
What a great pick.
What a fantastic pick.
It's just amazing.
Yeah. He was able to literally, he speaks to people, not at them, right? That's a vice president and a future president, I might say.
He's a guy you would be sitting outside at a backyard barbecue and having a beer and a hot dog with.
Or go fishing with.
Or comfortable with it.
Absolutely.
I don't drink beer, but.
So I want to just discuss really quickly, because I know everyone's, but we have to do our version of some of the, what were some of the ways that Kamala Harris actually lost this election? Because we talked about not, you know, being tone deaf, not really being truly relatable. She didn't tell the truth, right? They lied.
Well, in my opinion, it seemed like they were talking down to the American people.
Sure.
And you're not going to raise, there was no raising up. And they're also always talking to the demographic that they already owned. So, you know,
the elites.
It was black, you know,
black women, educated white women.
Yes.
Yep.
And the LGBT community.
Yep.
And
some half at least.
So,
and then white Democratic men.
Yeah,
well, that's who they have.
So
that they're always speaking
that was it.
To.
And so what do? They bring in all these celebrities. You know, they hate the rich. They hate the billionaires. But they bring in all these
rich billionaires
to convince you that you should vote for them.
Yeah.
And so they bring in an Oprah Winfrey who speaks to, you think Oprah, let's be honest, is Oprah Winfrey, she has a demographic. Do you think she's really reaching anybody outside that demographic? She's not.
No.
It's just kind of like bringing in, you know, all the other people that they brought in. They bring in the same people. They bring in a Cardi
B.
Who's Cardi B reaching outside of her demographic? You know, it's not going to appeal. So they did a lackluster job of picking people that would really advance their demographic. And then they tried to do it with, you know, falteringly with Walz. Like Walz was really going to be the guy that was going to bring in this male vote that they felt that they're missing. So they keep trying to portray him as the Ultraman, but he just was a clown. He just didn't come off well. He looked goofy out there. They kept trying to, you know, clearly they kept trying to manage him or kind of direct him so that they kept trying to get him down so he didn't do his weird little running around the stage and doing his little jumping around. And then just the other day, somehow it got missed, but he calls Elon Musk. He says that gay guy, Elon Musk. And, you know, so you're seeing the truth.
They so just, disrespectful.
They lied. They were disrespectful. They lied. They pandered to everybody. And they just, I just think that they just fell flat on the American people at large. They got the demographic that we just described, but they didn't reach the demographic at large. They got those people that were selfishly entrenched into their own needs, but they didn't reach the needs of the American public on a greater level as far as economically how they were affecting, how right. families were affected, how it, though, that's what they
everyday
did.
Everyday life. People who punch clocks, people who have kids, people who have to watch their checkbook to pay bills.
They got, I'm sure they reached the transgender audience. I'm sure they reached the
Trump delusion.
The furries, I'm sure they reached them.
Yeah.
I'm sure they reached, you know, the isolated black women that are, you know,
right.
are kind of been voting Democrat historically.
Sure.
But, you know, they lost the people. There are people that are just believing in the American dream. That's what J.D. Vance and Trump did.
Yeah.
They grabbed those people and they held on. And we are believing in the American dream again. God bless.
Americans executed. We got to the polls. I mean, so just really quickly, want to go through some of the things that I have 25 points. We probably won't get through all 25, but just want to talk about, you know, some of the ways that where Kamala Harris lost this whole deal, right? Number one is the weak border, right? Harris's approach to the border security was it's ineffective. It was a lackluster of urgency regarding the border crisis, alienating voters who, you know, prioritize national security.
You think that was a crisis? 16 million illegal undocumented aliens running across the border? That's a problem?
That's a problem. Her failure to address inflation, her administration handing their handling of inflation did not resonate with many of Americans who felt she was out of touch with the impact of rising costs on everyday families. We just talked about that.
I would just sum it up. She didn't care.
She didn't care. Flat period. That's
care.
A savage truth right there. She just simply did not care.
Savage truth.
Bidenomics. They just simply didn't care. High gas prices under Harris's leadership or lack thereof. Energy prices, especially gas, remained high, right? This remained, this affected working class families and diminished her appeal.
I think it dropped right before the election.
Yeah. It diminished it affected working class families and diminished her appeal to blue collar voters. Her stance on fossil fuels, right? Her whole deal with her opinion of oil and gas and fracking.
She loved fracking.
Well, no, she didn't.
Well, she said she did.
Well, she didn't. But she didn't.
She liked it, right? 2 months before the election, she loved fracking.
Her lack of economic growth, right? There was no economic growth under this administration. Economic policies under her quote-unquote leadership were insufficient. Absolutely.
It moved backwards. That's movement.
Right.
That was movement.
But backwards. Crime and policing.
You're so picky. Movement. They gave you movement.
Okay. I guess I'll be more specific. Would like to move forward and up. But crime and policing, her support for reducing police funding alienated those who view and fully understood because of the impact of crime.
Crime went down. Oh, wait. Those numbers, while corrected during the debate with Biden and Trump, those numbers were
inaccurate and fact-checked.
And told
they
that
weren't
Trump
reporting.
Was wrong.
Right.
That Trump had actually, or that it had gone down.
Right.
Trump was saying that crime had gone up. They fact-checked him. No, it actually had gone down. And then 2 weeks later, turns out that those numbers are wrong. Trump was right and crime was up. And so just like their employment records, they keep changing those numbers also.
Correct. Right. So they lie. They are not savage truthers. But the truth is, let's say you are someone who doesn't pay attention to polls. You know from common sense that crime is up. Because when you go to Target, when you go to Walgreens, when you go to CVS, right, everything's behind glass and plastic. And you have to call someone with a key to give you some deodorant so you're not funky for the rest of the day. Okay, so you know what? It's just common sense. These are those little tidbits. This is how they lost Americans. Right. This is how they lost it. She was weak on foreign policy.
They didn't care.
They just simply didn't care.
Don't care.
This is just
there
we're just being true.
That don't care.
They just don't care. Yeah. Harris's position on foreign policy was viewed as inconsistent and weak, particularly regarding relations with adversarial nations.
Well,
right.
How about you could name Afghanistan? She was in charge of that. What went wrong there? You know,
Biden.
She had the communication with Ukraine and in that issue with Russia. And also again in
Iran,
Palestine, and Israel.
She can't get it right.
She can't get it right.
Yeah. She was not our president.
She's not somebody that's going to be respected as a foreign ambassador. She's just not.
Yeah. I mean, and I can go on and on and on. Student loan policies, right? Her flat out issue with relatability altogether. She was not popular. Her staff continued to quit and or be fired by her.
I think most of them quit.
They said about 94% of her actually literally quit.
Yeah, I don't think they really fired her.
They actually referred to her, some insiders say that they called her lazy and that she didn't actually do the work. So she would be given these 3-ring binders to study the issues so that she would be prepared for upcoming issues or debates or, and she wouldn't actually study, but then blame her staff.
Yeah, she was never prepared.
Yeah.
She just not. Again, I'm going to go back. I think I said it last podcast. She's not smart. She just is not smart.
Or charismatic.
And she doesn't have,
yeah.
She comes off as fake.
Right.
I think she did just spent so much time pandering.
Yeah.
So much time trying to play a role. It never felt genuine.
Yeah.
So I would think we're talking about the reasons that she didn't win. Bottom line is she didn't win. And it doesn't even, at this point, it doesn't matter. What matters is that she just goes away and doesn't come back.
So now, Brad, if you want to shift a little bit, we're starting to hear some blames. Okay, we're starting to hear blame from the Democrat side and the media and others saying that. And the biggest one that I've been hearing is that, well, she only had 100-plus days to get this done, right?
Well, again, you know, whose fault is that? Just say this. If she spent 2.5 years with a man that was in cognitive decline and you didn't call it out earlier. So I guess whatever time was it was your time frame. But I think they're blaming the wrong person. If I was a Democrat right now, I would be sitting there. I wouldn't even blame. It's their fault they got stuck with Kamala Harris. That's their choice.
Correct.
But who I would be blaming is George Clooney. That's who they should be blaming. George Clooney is the guy that drove the point home that Biden could not beat Donald Trump, you know, in the presidential race. So that's who they should be blaming. The Democrats should be like, George Clooney, just go back and act in something. You know, whatever it is, you got your money now from your tequila and now you think you're like this worldly man that can just come in and just chime in and all this influence and be this influential personality that has all this insight. Look what you did. You kicked that old degenerate man out of the White House race and put in Kamala Harris, and look what happened. She lost. So Democrats blame George Clooney.
I would also say, Brad, that her problem, there's some blame in that this is positional. And this is what I mean by that. Kamala Harris, vice president of the United States, still is. She had the position, right? She had access. She had access to all the strategies. She had access to, you know, all of the secrets. And she had opportunity to have the best counsel and speech writers for 3.75 years. So, you know, to say that she wasn't prepared, she didn't have enough time. This is a woman who ran for Senate. She ran for Attorney General. She ran for, what was her other position in California? So she is very well-versed and she ran as a Democratic nominee, right? So she's had plenty of time and
she was just a bad candidate.
She's just a bad candidate. That's she's bottom simply line. Unqualified.
You picked the wrong candidate. Yeah. Thanks to George Clooney.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go back on George Clooney because I'm like, you know, it's like, he's writing his letter and posting it. What is it? The New York Post? I don't even remember what it was. New York Times. So that he posted his big letter that really moved this and was trying to force their hand in kicking Joe Biden out.
Sure.
Which I think is still an actual tragedy because I think that I'm assuming he had cognitive decline from everything I see. However, whether that's true or not, I don't really know because they've never come out and told us. But I think it's actually bad for American politics that they forced him out. And if they had to force him out, then he should have resigned as president of the United States. That's what he should have done. if he could be and still is acting as president of the United States, he should have been able to stay in, because I think it was a coup. It was a staged coup. And that is not how democratic politics should work.
If you live by DEI, you die by DEI. Okay, that's a lesson here. I think that there's a huge lesson to be learned, because today, the day after election, was oddly quiet. I think that everyone on the opposite side was in shock. And I kind of noticed there was kind of this zombie-like silence hanging in the air. Like, they can't quite figure out, like, whoa, we lost, and I can't believe it. They are absolutely in shock. But there is a takeaway. If you're a Democrat, there is a takeaway in all this, in that the American people, we're very much alive. We are resilient. And you need to speak and connect to us. We are smart. We are sharp. And we know the issues. Speak to us and not at us. Make sure that you have our future and our children's future in mind. Make not the assumption that we are a monolith, okay? And make sure that you come correct when it comes to those issues. I mean, this is an opportunity, if they're smart, to take the next 4 years to hang back, recede to Donald Trump because he rightly won, and get your party together and figure out. Because when I listen to CNN and MSDNC, okay, and everyone else, they still are having the same language of, I can't believe that Americans, they would vote for someone like this. It's like, they still haven't learned.
But
they again, don't know who we are, Brad. They still don't know who Americans are.
If I was the Democratic machine right now, I'd just be looking for a good candidate. That's where I would start. I would look at a candidate that actually is interested in the American people, who actually doesn't lie, and who has a moderately clean background, because nobody's perfect. But I would find somebody that really, that's what they should be doing. Just find a good candidate, because wouldn't that be intriguing as Americans, you know, to actually just have two candidates that were actually really spoke to the heart of America. And then we actually had to make a really unbiased decision based on the policy, rather than playing this identity politics game that they keep shoving down our throat.
And they're losing it, Brad. That's what's important. When I say the plus six, the plus sevens, the plus tens, the plus fours, the American people are letting them know, you will no longer, from this day forward, you cannot come across
you
as unintelligent. You cannot fool me.
Fool me once. I won't even get into it. But
okay, Bush. But what I want to say is this, Brad, is that what we saw and what we have in Donald Trump, for those who didn't vote on the issues, and they said, well, I'm not voting for Donald Trump because of character. And we have to care about character. And to them, I say, you know what? You're right. And I would say one of the greatest characters is courage. And when you have a man who is on stage speaking to the people about their issues, caring about them, and he takes a bullet to the head, he's confused, he gets hit, doesn't know where it's coming from, doesn't know how bad it is, and he stands up, he has blood coming across his face, and instead of running, as he would have been totally justified in doing so, he puts his fist in the air to the people and says, fight, fight, fight. To me, Brad, in that moment, that's when the election was won. Donald Trump won the election then, in that very moment. I think that he is one of the greatest Americans to ever have lived.
Well, I think he's an absolutely selfless man.
Yeah.
At least in this presidency. You know, he said 30 years ago, that, you know, he would only run. He told Oprah Winfrey that he would only run for presidency if he felt that America needed him. And I think that's what we have. We have a man that actually, on that stage, as you pointed out, he was shot, he was wounded, and he didn't know to what extent. And his first thought was to the American people.
Yeah.
And in what that meant, he doesn't hold his life to a higher value than he holds the position of presidency. He just doesn't, his life is not as important as he holds this, his American values. And I think it's just unbelievable. Where are you going to find that? Maybe in combat situations, but you're never going to see an average person out there. Put yourself in that position. You've been shot, and your first thought is not to get out of there and escape, but to actually stand up and wave your fist and say, fight, 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 because he's fighting for America. Hands down, one of the greatest Americans that we've ever seen in our time.
And I'm so proud to have put him in office to be our 47th president.
It was historic to watch that last night. I couldn't have been prouder.
And it's going to be another historic 4 years. So thanks for watching, you guys. Thanks so much for joining us. I hope you're as joy-filled as we are. Really looking forward to the next 4 years. Let's be mindful. Hope you enjoy this holiday season. I'm not going away or anything, but I just feel that much more thankful and that much more hopeful because of last night. I'm really looking forward to, you know, we should have a conversation about legacy media. I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about legacy media and the role that they played and if they have a future in America with regard to all that this man has been through with the allegations, the lawsuits, being shot at, two attempts on his life, and
the lawfare.
Yeah,
lawfare. I think this is what we, you know, again, just really quickly, what you're saying is that we saw through your lies. We saw through all the lies that you've told about Donald Trump. We saw through all of it. And you know what? And the majority of the American peoples voted that man into office.
Correct.
Once again.
We choose America first, always. All right. Make America great again for another 4 years. And with that, we're going to say to please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And remember, as always,
be bold,
be strong, be faithful,
and be true.
Till next time.
Thank you, everybody.
I'm Cicely.
And I'm Brad.
The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis is a production of Front Page Magazine and the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.